Hello and again, welcome to the Labyrinth Library Podcast. How are you doing? I'm doing great. I've got a dog at my feet and a cat on my lap, and really that's a fine way to do a podcast. I don't know if you've tried it, but you should. So, how are things going with you? The dog is no longer at my feet. How are things going with you? I hope you are well. I've had a good week. I've been practicing for my Olympic napping career, getting a lot of good nap practice in. I think I may get it. I think I may go for the gold this time. I don't know. You know, 2012, London, here I come. Yeah. I also saw a movie this week. I watched Inception, which is very, very cool. A lot of fun, dreams and dreaming and what you can do with dreams. And I hope to go see it with the boyfriend when he comes back from being away on business. So that was a fun flick. I highly recommend it. And yeah, that's about it. You know, still on vacation, and vacation is nice. I get to stay inside because it's 12 million degrees outside, and I have air conditioning in here turned up to Alaska levels. So as far as I'm concerned, that is a good way to spend a day off or days off. But that is neither here nor there. We are here to talk today about books, as always. I gave you a hint last week that this book was about writing and the craft of writing, mainly focused around movies. My sister guessed it would be Stephen King's book on writing, and close but incorrect. The book this week, in fact, is Story by Robert McKee. Now, we're speaking of movies, and like I said, just watched Inception, which is really good and very clever, and I thought it was very well done. But there are a lot of really bad movies out there. When I wrote this, review, I think, last year, and Transformers 2 came out, and for some bizarre reason, maybe I had a head injury, I went and saw it. And I asked myself, why are there so many bad movies out there? I mean, really, you and I both know, right, that all the films that are released every year, we maybe get one or two that are really good. There's some that are good enough to spend an afternoon watching, maybe enjoyable enough that we'll want to watch it on DVD again later, but oh, so many are just plain bad. I mean, it's my fault for seeing Transformers 2, really. I have no one to blame but myself for that. And the really scary thing is that in this type of summer movie situation where you have movies like that and G.I. Joe, if you think about it, these were the best stories they had available, right? I mean, seriously, if they had a better movie to make, one that would get a bigger audience and bring in more money, don't you think they would have made it? The only reason you put on a piece of misery like Transformers together is because you have no better options available, or you just don't care, which is probably more likely. So why should this be so? What happened to those great scripts of long ago? You know, back in my day, when we had good movies, damn it, and we didn't need all this fancy CGI to fill up screen times. We could go home quoting movie lines. We had characters that inspired us and stories that shaped our lives. Well, it's probably important to note that even in the good old days, the good stories were still grossly outnumbered by the mediocre and the bad ones. And there's a very good reason for that. And that reason is that writing is hard. If you take nothing else away from this podcast and the book that I'm talking about, and I do recommend reading it if you're at all interested in writing, you'll remember that writing a story is work. And if you're not willing to do the work that it takes, then you're not going to write a good story. Oh, you might luck out and write a story that's good enough, and there might be enough truly bad stuff out there that someone will be willing to publish or produce your good enough story. But it won't make people like it, watch it, read it, or care about it. If you want your work to have real resonance, to have an effect on people long after they've put it down or walked out of the theater, then you have to be willing to do more than just type a couple thousand words every day. You have to know your story from the inside out, know the characters better than they know themselves, and have a clear vision of what it is you want to say. A good story, McKee believes, is the writer telling us, life is like this. And if it is a good story, and if it is well told, then we will believe him, or her. And that is the reason for the title of this book, Story. Everything serves the story, McKee says, including you, the writer. But if you know how the story works, and how to make the story serve your own ends, then you can create a piece that will live on in memory. Now, this book is not an instruction manual, and the things that McKee talks about are not rules, or even guidelines. They are the principles of storytelling, guiding ideas that underpin every good story ever told, and the lack of which are what lead to mediocre or even bad storytelling. If you're able to follow these principles, McKee believes anyway, Keep them in your mind and be willing to work with them, then you will be able to produce work that will sell. For example, he talks a lot about the idea of the gap, right? People who want something will usually do the minimum required to get that thing that they want, right? So if I want to get into my friend's house, I won't bring my lockpicks and Jimmy open the door. I'll probably just knock on it and ask to be let in. If that happens, then I get what I expected to get, and that scene should therefore be cut from the manuscript. But what if, for example, I knock on the door and my friend refuses to let me in? Now there is a gap, right? A difference between what I expected to happen and what actually happened. Now, I have to react to that, and his reaction to my reaction will drive the scene on. By asking yourself what the character expects, and then saying, okay, what is the opposite of that, you can drive the story along, make it interesting, and provide your characters with more to do than just, you know, knock on doors. He also talks about what he calls the controlling idea of a story. What is the meaning of your story? It could be something simple like, love brings people together through adversity, or those who use others lead meaningless lives, or the best life is one where challenges are overcome, whatever. It is the spine of your story. It is the idea that holds everything together. By knowing what your story is really about, you can make sure that every scene and every chapter serves that end. So from the big ideas of characterization and symbolism and the controlling idea, McKee moves on to structure and the true nuts and bolts of screenwriting, the beat, scene, sequence, act structure that governs a film and determines how the overall structure works. He looks at different movies and analyzes how the story is structured, both in regards to the main plot and any subplots, which are really good for propping up a slower second act. He points out different ways to introduce the inciting incident of your story, where the climaxes and the turning points might go, and how to get there and keep your audience interested. There's so much in the book. It really is like a handbook of story writing. Now, while it is geared towards screenwriters, the principles of storytelling can apply to any medium. He does talk a little bit about other media as well, mainly in the section on adaptation. If you are a playwright or a novelist, there's lessons in this book that you can definitely use, while ignoring the exhortations not to, for example, try and put stage and camera directions into your screenplay, which, you know, the playwright and the novelist don't really need so much. Now, I've had, personally, an on-again, off-again love of writing since I was a kid. There have been times when I wrote nonstop, putting out stories just left and right. Not necessarily good ones, mind you, but writing nonetheless. And then there have been periods, you know, like now, for example, where there are no stories that burn to be told. Honestly, I miss it. But reading this book kind of stoked the flames a little, right? I got to thinking about old stories that I could revise, and a couple ideas that I had consigned to the filing cabinet in my brain proved to be good guinea pigs for some of McKee's principles. Does this mean that I'm on my way to literary superstardom? Not without a whole lot of hard work, it doesn't. Much like King's book, one of the biggest lessons you get from this book is that creating a story of any quality requires hard, consistent work, and lots of it. McKee gives some good tips on the kind of writing process you should use to shorten the writing time, making more efficient use of your time and creativity, essentially, but at no time does he claim that making a good story is easy. What he does do, however, is make you believe that the hard work is worth doing. Now, as much as I would like to heap praise on McKee, however, there was something that stuck in my brain like a splinter when I read this. It's a very, very little thing. It's a very, very nerdy thing, but it's a thing nonetheless. At various points in the book, in order to illustrate one principle of storytelling or another, McKee uses the scene in The Empire Strikes Back where Vader reveals that he is Luke's father. All right? McKee is right in that it's an excellent example of the perfect storytelling moment. At that instant, we rethink everything we've seen before with regards to Luke and Vader, right? We understand that Yoda and Obi-Wan weren't necessarily worried that Luke needed training just to be a good Jedi. They were worried that he would turn out like his father. Everything we thought we knew about those characters had to be reevaluated, and in terms of simple storytelling, it was really a brilliant moment. I mean, take that gap principle I talked about earlier. I mean, there's Luke, right, at Vader's mercy in Cloud City, and Luke expects that Vader is going to kill him. But what happens? He says, I am your father. And then what does Vader expect? He certainly doesn't expect Luke to throw himself off the antenna, choosing death over giving in to the dark side. The viewer doesn't have any idea what to expect either, and that's what makes for a great movie moment. Trouble is, I don't think McKee has actually watched that movie in a very long time. He gets lines wrong. For example, he gives Vader's line as, "You can't kill me, Luke, I'm your father," and gets entire sequences of events wrong. He has Vader reveal his paternity to Luke, who then attacks him, forcing Vader to cut off his son's hand. Vader offers to let Luke rule by his side, in response to which Luke hurls himself to what he imagines to be his death. And every time McKee brings up Star Wars as an example, I found myself wanting to scream, "Did you even see the movie? Or did you look up the script?" I mean, I know the book was published in 1997, but if he's big in Hollywood, he should at least be able to get his hands on one precious copy or go to Blockbuster and rent the damn movie. I'm sorry, that would be nerd rage. And it is, like I said, it's a minor picky thing. That's my one gripe, really, and it did kind of make me wonder what else he might have gotten wrong in his details. I mean, his reading of the scene worked, and it wouldn't have been any different if he had gotten it right, after all. But it's a pretty big mistake to make. I can only hope that he managed to fix it in later editions. So that much aside, the principles he puts forward are sound, and it's the kind of book that you want to keep close at hand while you're putting your story together. If you find yourself hitting a wall, just start browsing through the book again and something will come to you. Whether you are a writer of screenplays or stage plays, novels, or short stories, this is a book you really should read. It'll help you see what you're doing in a whole new light. So let me give you a quote from the book. Mr. McKee says, "Story isn't a flight from reality, but a vehicle that carries us on our search for reality, our best effort to make sense out of the anarchy of existence." And that is true, honestly, if you think about it. Stories have to make sense, right? Real life doesn't have to make sense. If things that happen to you in real life happened in a movie, no one would buy it. Everyone would say, "Oh, that's completely unrealistic. What are you talking about? She just dies in a car crash for no reason? That's stupid." In a movie, it has to make sense. It has to serve the story. Real life doesn't have to. And that's probably why we like stories so much. That's why I know that's one reason why I do. So, that is Story by Robert McKee. I highly recommend it if you are a writer of any kind. Definitely take a look. If you're interested in movies and you want to learn perhaps how to critique movies better and understand why some movies are really good and some movies aren't, take a look at this. This is a good behind-the-scenes look of how writing a screenplay happens, and you can kind of start to see in movies how a good screenwriter builds a story. So definitely check it out. And you know what? My sister, as I said, she guessed that it was Stephen King's book on writing. And I usually do read these two books together. I'll read one before the other, but I'll usually read them right together because they kind of feed on each other. So next week, I have decided we're going to do Stephen King's book on writing. No guessing, nothing like that for you. You get a week off to relax your poor, abused brains. So that is about it. By the way, if you're here for the first time, if you were directed here from Susan Campbell's blog in the Hartford Current, welcome. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I do this kind of thing all the time. You can pick up all the back episodes, on the webpage or in iTunes. Maybe iTunes is a little bit picky about it, but congratulations to yourself. You have joined literally dozens of people who listen to this podcast regularly. It's an elite group. I like to think of it that way. You know, I actually have no idea how many people actually listen to this podcast every week. I really don't. I mean, I've got different sources. FeedBurner tells me I have 60 subscribers. Google Analytics tells me I've got 464 returning customers to the blog. I've got 131 Facebook follower peoples. Blogger, I have 6 followers. iTunes, I don't know, because iTunes doesn't tell you how your own podcast is doing. So really, I don't know how many people listen to this podcast. Could be a million, could be 12. So here's what I propose. If you're listening to this episode, take a nice, crisp $10 bill. Right? No, stay with me. A nice, crisp $10 bill and send it to me. And at the end of the week, I'll count up all the $10 bills, and that's how I'll know how many listeners I have. So there we go. Get on it. So that's about it. As I said, next week we'll be doing Stephen King's book on writing. So if you have a short story, if you have a novel in your head that you've been working on putting together, make sure you come back next week for maybe a little more inspiration, if I can pull that off. But until then, I hope that you have a good week. A text version of this review will be up on the blog, thelabyrinthlibrary.blogspot.com, along with any relevant links I can think of. If you have anything you want to say or any suggestions you'd like to make, please leave a comment and let me know. If you have a book you'd like to recommend, I'd be happy to hear it. If you would like to send me some email, send it to labyrinthlibrary@gmail.com. And if you like what you hear, please give a review on iTunes or become a fan on Facebook. This podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives license, so feel free to share it, but please don't sell it or change it. The music is courtesy of Kevin MacLeod at www.incompetech.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week, and until then, keep reading.